Listen local.
From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole, and we are continuing local election coverage with our series of in-depth interviews with the candidates, extended interviews so you can meet the candidates and get to know their stance on the issues. This week, we're taking a look at New York's 51st Senate District. Yesterday, we spoke to the challenger in that race, Michelle Frazier. If you missed that interview, it is up at WJFFradio.org. Go to our election page. And also yesterday, I spoke with the incumbent in that race, Senator Peter Oberacker, and that's what you're going to hear right now. Joining us now is Senator Peter Oberacker, currently serving his second term representing New York's 51st Senate District. He's seeking re-election this November. Oberacker was first elected in 2020 amid the global pandemic, and he previously held roles on the Otsego County Board of Representatives, where he chaired the Public Works Committee, served as vice chair of the Administration Committee, and was involved in human services, negotiations, and intergovernmental affairs. Prior to that, he was the Maryland, New York town supervisor and also served on that town board. This election, he's facing a challenge from Michelle Frazier. Welcome, Senator Oberacker.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for making time for me today. Fantastic.
So we gave a bit of your bio there, but do you want to tell us a little bit more about your background?
Certainly. You gave a very concise and I think up-to-date background on who I am, but there's some other sides of me as well. One that I'm, of course, very proud of is I'm a father of two wonderful children, three grandchildren, with one on the way coming in November. I was fortunate and extremely blessed to be able to marry my childhood sweetheart. We'll be coming up, it'll be 38 years this Friday. So been blessed in many ways, family-wise, of course. I'm a former CEO of a company that I started in 2007. I actually retired out of that in December. So a food scientist, a chef by trade, hopefully soon to be winemaking. So, you know, kind of vast interests. And of course, as a New York State Senator, one that, I take very seriously as far as my commitment to the people of the fighting 51st, as I like to call it. So.
Well, and then, and also congrats on both your anniversary and the coming third grandchild.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you.
So can you, tell listeners a bit of why you wanted to run again? Why are you running again?
Definitely. I'll use the word unfinished business. I am extremely proud of some of the accomplishments, you know, that I was able to realize in the coming to the end of my second term. And I just give a quick laundry list of what some of those are. And I think it'll start to show everybody why, number one, I run again. First, I had seven bills passed this last legislative session in the Senate, second highest in the Republican conference. And I think what that shows is that, number one, my ability to work across the aisle to my colleagues and have them get behind some of the pieces of legislation that I was proposing, common sense legislation. So I was very, very proud to be able to get, seven bills passed. I'm a member of the Budget and Finance Committee, and I think it again kind of shows that there is a willingness to trust maybe my business background. As a former town supervisor, I've had budgetary experience and running a municipality. So I think the fact that they approved me to be on the Budget and Finance Committee is one of showing. Again, confidence in my abilities. I'm the ranking member on the alcoholism and substance use disorder, and I think we'll get into further discussions about that and how that comes into play, especially in Sullivan County. I'm the ranker on transportation. Again, we have some interesting transportation, I think, issues coming up, not only in Sullivan County but in overall my 51st Senate district. I'm a member of the Ag Committee. I'm a member of the education committee in higher ed, and I'm also on the labor committee. So you start to look at, I think, the vastness of the my committee assignments and what that gives me. I'm dealing with a lot of interesting issues, some again that I want to see, you know, come forward. And to be able to do that, I need to be reelected, and hence I'm running.
Share with us anything that you may have learned since your first time in office. And by that, that could be from when you first served at the town level or in your past 4 years in the New York Senate. What have you learned that maybe you didn't have before you took office?
Patience, I guess, is the word that comes to mind. You know, from a business mindset, we work in a totally different mindset. Okay. Determining what the issue is, putting the plan in place, instituting a plan, at some point debriefing about whether we have met expectations to that plan, and then make adjustments accordingly so that we do meet expectations. Municipal-wise, and more so as I've gotten a little bit higher up, you know, in the process, there's not this speed of business. There's not this speed of decision making, and that can get frustrating, very frustrating to somebody who again is used to a certain level of speed and commitment. So what I've had to learn is to be patient. I've had to learn that, you know, the Albany works at a much slower pace. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm simply saying that that's what I had to get used to. So patience to me has been the one part of my personality, which I've had to really work with. And I think I have. And hence the reason that I really feel like I've made those inroads into the process in Albany. So again, I try to hold it. I try to hold it together as best I can, but there are times where I'm really trying to push to get things, get things moving.
Okay, well, let's get right into the issues now, but let's just start with your overview of what you would say are the most pressing issues facing the 51st Senate District today.
You know, I think first and foremost, again, going back to my status as a ranker on the alcoholism and substance use disorder, I don't think there's any of us that hasn't been touched in some way, shape, or form with substance use disorder. I know I have a family member who suffers from it, and I've seen from that point the downstream effects, right, of how many lives it touches, and in what areas. In other words, I mean, we're talking about it's stress on the health. The health field, right? The healthcare field. There's the stresses on our public safety. You know, there's the stresses on local municipalities. There's stresses through our counties. So every step of the way, I've seen where this has really reached out and touched so many different hot buttons within the 51st Senate District. So first and foremost, for me, and again, maybe having a little bit more personal experience with a family member, it is substance use disorder as far as number one. Number two, there is the housing issues. And we know that that's, posing questions and concerns, and where that kind of fits in too with substance use disorder. I mean, we find that, unfortunately, a lot of our populace are homeless. And, how do we address more viable, safe, and convenient housing for individuals within the 51st Senate District? And how do we put the plan in place? How do we systematically, in a common sense form, put together, which I think we can do, our issues when it comes to making more housing available and affordable? So there's that. The other part of where I am is when I was the former ranker on internet and technologies. I don't have broadband at my home. And today we're being asked to do so much more online from health issues, signing up for an appointment, signing up anything county-wise, looking at permits that you can draw for. If you don't have access to the internet today, it is akin, in my opinion, to being without electric, in all honesty. So those are some key areas right now that I'm looking at focusing in on. I mean, there are many more. I mean, there's agriculture, there's veterans. I'm a big supporter of EMS. Here's another one, EMS and firefighting. We were able to pass EMS as an essential service this last year in the Senate, and it didn't pass in the Assembly. So I'm looking forward to being able to focus in on some of those areas. I think that would have a great and positive effect to the folks I represent in the 51st.
We're going to give you a chance to focus a little more on some of those areas because we've got further questions on those issues. Let's start with housing, which you mentioned, which I think everybody's really acknowledges a major concern, especially the last few years. Housing affordability is a major concern. So how would you address the housing crisis in your district?
Well, like with building a house, you have to have a good foundation. And the foundation for the overall umbrella of the housing issue is water, is sewer, and is energy. I mean, those are key components to putting any housing plan into a viable plan for making it successful. And, I mean, we all know there's issues with water down in Sullivan County, having enough of it, right? Having updated lines, sewer. You can't have anything that if you don't have the capacity to process, sewage coming out. And then, of course, energy-wise, both electric and otherwise. So my plan would be to focus in on those areas and shoring up those very important grid areas, if you will, right? And then from that point, I think it starts to lead us down the path for viable housing and affordable housing as well. Other areas, of course, there's some zoning and codes and things of that nature. But really, without that foundation, I think we're just really spinning our wheels when it comes to the overall question of housing and making it successful.
I'm talking to New York State Senator Peter Oberacker about his background and the issues. We're going to pause now, but when we come back, we'll be talking about issues like the environment and public safety. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
After days of debating, the senior military commanders and the generals won the debate inside Iran and convinced Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei to order direct strikes against Israel.
I'm Sabrina Tavernisi. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
Voting is underway in the 2024 election, and the economy is a big issue. We want to know how your health care, housing, and family care expenses impact your politics. This is Brian Lehrer of WNYC. Join me and Marketplace's Kimberly Adams for a live national election series, America, Are We Ready? We'll open the phones, hear your stories, and learn from the experts. Join us for America, Are We Ready?
Hear it Wednesday nights at 8, all this month on Radio Catskill. Welcome back to The Local Edition. Keeping you connected this election season, let's get back to our candidate interview. We're talking to incumbent Senator Peter Oberacker, representing New York's 51st Senate District. The next issue we want to ask about is the environment. When we talk about this with candidates, one of the things I point out for our listening area is, the two major industries in our area are tourism and agriculture, yep, which in different ways really rely on the environment, and then there's people who just have environmental concerns. So what are your policies to protect and improve environmental quality and protection in the 51st district?
And again, you've hit on it, so eloquently. So let's start with the agriculture side of things. I don't think we can ask for better stewards of our environment than our local, and I'll use the word agricultural warriors, that are out there. Our farmers, those that are growing, believe it or not, I mean, I'm also kind of within there. I'm growing grapes, and my son and daughter-in-law are dairy farmers, actually, in one of the neighboring counties that I don't represent. So number one, I'm plugged in, and I understand the challenges sometimes that we in Albany also put on our agricultural folks, and how, I won't say difficult, but I'll use the word challenging it becomes for them to adhere to some of the policies that we put forth. It almost is almost like we haven't immersed ourselves to fully understand what those challenges are. I would rather see us educate ourselves on what those true challenges are. And a lot of that is simply just making it viable and affordable and profitable for our agricultural farmers out there to stay within there. Because then what happens? If they go out, then we have land that is left over. It's out of production. You know, COVID taught us, if nothing else, we need to be self-sufficient when it comes to our food production. So very, very concerned with not only maintaining, but making it viable again to get back into farming. And then, you know, from the tourism side, I can't think of a more beautiful, beautiful spot than the Catskills. And especially at this time of the year, right? The colors. I don't know if we promote it enough. I really don't. I know we have a lot of our, you know, we have a lot of areas that talk about it. But one of the things that I've been kind of working on is trying to work on a green energy empowered rail from Port Jervis up the western parts of Sullivan County to try to bring folks from downstate here, okay, into the jewel of the Catskills. I think the more people that we could get, this is a green hydrogen conceptualized now, green hydrogen fired rail system to bring folks from the city up into the Catskills. And I think what it'll do, of course, it would boost tourism, which again directly affects economic development and all the services, the cottage industries that could be, you know, spurned from that. So when it comes to tourism, we've got a lot of things going for us, don't get us wrong. But one of the ones that I've focused in on is a green energy powered locomotive passenger rail service from Port Jervis. Actually, all the way up to Binghamton, New York is conceptualized where it is right now. And it is starting, believe it or not, to gain some traction. So hopefully more updates to follow on that. But I think that could be a huge boost to both the bringing in those that respect and want to share in the beauty of our agriculture and what we have, and also tourism.
And do you picture that being like an extension, whether it's literal a partner with MTA, New Jersey Transit, or just a de facto extension of the Port Jervis line?
100% agree. Yes. I mean, part of the, it's a green hydrogen, propelled, I guess would be the way to describe it. And so what we're looking at is it on two fronts. It's also taking current diesel, fired locomotives and retrofitting them to be able to use green hydrogen. So we're reducing carbon footprint, which is a big issue. It's also promoting, I think, some of the green energy initiatives out there. It's maybe a 200 foot moving billboard, if you will, for that. And, I think the concept is sound. I think it would fit right in with those of us that want to protect the environment, protect, the green spaces that we have. And in turn, bring the folks out, bring them out into the wonderful Catskills. So it hits, I think, some of the hot buttons that we're all concerned about and looking to address.
Okay, let's move on to public safety. And we've got a couple of questions along these lines. We'll just start in general. What's your stance on public safety, the justice system, and how to improve public safety in this district?
Well, number one, I support our men and women in blue. They have the most difficult job, I think we can all appreciate and agree to. And the other thing that I think sometimes we forget, sometimes in the public sector, we forget that most times, these folks are seeing people on their worst day. And so, you know, to support them, whenever I see somebody, I've always acknowledged, thank you. You know, thank you for your service. I think that goes a long way. But we've also done some things in Albany that I think is, again, made it more challenging, right? Three things that I can think of right away, you know, raise the age, cashless bail. And those have taken away, I think, some of the ability for our men and women in law enforcement to adequately address public safety as the overall umbrella that we're talking about. It's made their jobs, I think, a little bit more difficult, and I would even say a little bit more frustrating. So for me, I would absolutely look at repealing the cashless bail. Now, you know, everyone's going to say, get in an uproar, but as I alluded to in my intro, we in business would look at something, no matter where it was, did it meet expectation? If it didn't, there's no shame in saying it didn't. Let's take the data that we've received. Let's reevaluate it. Let's retool it. And then let's re-implement it. Those are the things I'm looking at. Repeal, review, and retool are the three R's that I would apply to that under public safety. I think all of us feel like that with the events that we've seen lately, both nationally and locally, that a greater focus for allowing our men and women in law enforcement to do their job, everyone benefits. Everyone benefits from it. So that would be my answer and my plan, if you will, under the public safety question.
And a little bit more on the bail reform there. So going off of what you're saying, if I'm following this right, like you like what's on the books now to be repealed. Do you have any ideas for what I think the second R was retool. Do you have any
review? Review.
It's review. Yes. Do you want to do a review before you retool, and that so you can get some?
Well, I think for me it would be repeal, so that we're all starting back then at say a ground zero, okay, or at the bottom. Then when I say by review, what I would look at, and I would love to get the input from our law enforcement, our judicial people that are, you know, dealing with this day to day, take what they have seen since we've implemented the current version of cashless bail, and then review it, retool it, and then reinstitute it. I think it would really bring in the stakeholders. I really think it would bring in the stakeholders, and I think we would have an overall better law. We would have a better program, and it would address the concerns that were originally brought up as to why, cashless bail was promoted and talked about. So there's no shame in it. You know, I think sometimes we in Albany, we're almost afraid to admit that we're human in certain areas and sometimes not necessarily there were unintended consequences. So I would really love to see us do that. And I would be all in favor of working with my colleagues from across the aisle to do that. Let's look at repealing it. We start back at a ground zero. Let's review it, get our stakeholders input, and then we can retool it and reimplement it. A lot of R's there, but they all kind of connect one another.
Right. Okay. And then the last issue we want to touch on, then we'll have a wrap up question, is economic growth. What steps would you take to promote economic growth and job creation in the rural areas of your district?
Number one, you know, I would look at trying to let business be a business. So I've said this before, and some people kind of look at it like, what are you talking about? We put a lot of unfunded mandates. We put a lot of stresses and strains on our businesses. And businesses are very adept at making those changes and dealing with it. But there also comes a point where they feel like they're being not necessarily singled out, but just that, again, there's that disconnect. You don't really understand what this means to me personally. And so for me, the first thing I do when I meet a business person, not only within the district, but in all of New York, I say thank you. I say thank you for staying here because they do have a choice. And if we're not creating kind of that environment of not just being singled out, in other words, we are here to help you. We are here to create this foundation again so that you can be successful. If you're successful, ultimately we in Albany are successful. And all the other issues that we can talk about, job creation, workforce development, housing, just getting folks, all of those things will start to weed themselves out. And that, but if we don't have a good, strong economic base, we will not have the answer to the rest of those questions. So mandated, I'd love to see us release some of those mandates, make it more of what I would say a business favorable environment. And we can do that. We can do that. It's really not that difficult.
Okay, and finally, before we go, I'd just like you to talk to us and let the listeners know about why you think they should vote for you over your opponent.
If I was to sum it up, I would say the term that I would use is respectful experience. And what I mean by that, I feel as though I have been able to earn the respect of my colleagues from across the aisle in my ability to sometimes, I'll use the word, disagree agreeably. And I think we've kind of lost that, in some of the some of our interactions in politics in general. So I feel as though I've earned it being on the budget committee, having my input listened to and taken, into account. I'll equate to our EMS getting it passed. I was carrying legislation for EMS as an essential service. I was not going to be able to bring it across the finish line. I reached out to a colleague from across the aisle, and it was Chairwoman Mayer. She was heading up. She chairs our education, and she was able to bring it across. And so sometimes you have to work in those areas for the betterment of everybody. And I feel like I bring that. I feel like I've been able to again, project that. Seven bills passed, second most in the conference. I do support the, of course, public safety. And also one of my campaign promises when I ran first was to have a point of presence in Sullivan. So we have our Liberty office. I have a staffer, of course, that is there. So I think I've committed myself to not only supporting but representing not only my 51st Senate District, but Sullivan County in a manner in which they would expect a state legislator to represent them.
Well, Senator Peter Obracker, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. It's been great talking to you as well, and get out there and enjoy the fall foliage.
Well, that's it for the Local Edition tonight. I've been your host, Jason Dole. Thank you so much to Senator Peter Obracker for joining us here. We spoke to his opponent, challenger Michelle Frazier. She was on the program yesterday. If you missed that, it's up at WJFFradio.org, or make sure you never miss any edition of the Local Edition. Sign up for the Local Edition podcast wherever you get your podcast from. For now, I'm going to say thanks again for listening. Stick with Radio Catskill because we are keeping you connected this election season. Coming up at 7, we've got Ramble Tamble kicking off a night of great local music programs. But before that, up next, it's The Daily. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Never Sink General Store, featuring deli sandwiches, gourmet specials, and catering. The NeverSinkGeneralStore.com. From The River Reporter, the community newspaper covering four counties in Pennsylvania and New York along the Upper Delaware River. RiverReporter.com. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Radio Catskill's annual music sale is the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and we still need donations of high-quality vinyl, super clean discs, indecent jackets, collectible pop, rock, and jazz records, as well as genres that we don't often see at the sale, hip-hop, heavy metal, and experimental records. And what we need more than anything else is you, a collector who has cared for your records and would like to see them go to a good home. If you're a collector who needs to downsize, email feedback at WJFFradio.com.